This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And alhamdulillahi na'maduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'gfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu falamudilla lahu wa man yudlil falahadiya lahu. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به وأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. We come to the next hadith in the book, the Da'wah and the Dua, the hadith of Abu Huraira. May Allah Azza wa Jalla be pleased with him. He was one of the illustrious and virtuous companions, radwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. He set himself aside and above many of the other companions, although we don't say that he's from or better than the 10 that have been promised Jannah, but we love him tremendously because he played a significant role in preserving for us the Sunnah. He was the companion that memorized the majority of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, despite the fact that he came into Islam late. He accepted al-Islam 7 years after the Prophet made hijrah to al-Medina sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he missed 13 years of Mecca, and he missed the first 7 years of al-Medina. And yet after embracing al-Islam in the 7th year, with only 3 years left of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abu Huraira memorized and narrated the majority of the hadith. He was a tremendous companion from those companions. He's a companion who's known by his kunya, Abu Huraira, more than he is known by his name, like Abu Bakr. People don't know Abu Bakr's Abdullah, for an example. People don't know Abu Dharr al-Ghaffari, Abu Darda. Those are companions who became known for their kunya more than their name. As it relates to Abu Huraira, his name is Abdurrahman, Abdurrahman ibn al-Sakhr, Abdurrahman ibn al-Sakhr, al-Dusi or Dawsi, al-Yamani, al-Yamani. He was from Yemen originally. As I mentioned, he was from those scholars that was a tremendous companion. So anyone who loves the Sunnah, he loves Ahlul Hadith, he loves the Salafiyya, then Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, he's a different companion. He's different because of the role that he played in preserving the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the sacrifices that he made in order to become who he became as it relates to him being a muhaddith and a faqih. Someone who knew this religion, may Allah Ta'ala be pleased with him. One of the great scholars of Islam, Al-Imam Ibn Hazm from Spain. Ibn Hazm, he said that he found and he read a book by a great scholar of Islam by the name of Baqi ibn Makhlad. He's a tremendous scholar. He wrote a book called the Musnad, like the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmed. So this man, Baqi ibn Makhlad, he has a musnad, but it's been lost. Al-Imam ibn Hazm and other scholars said that the musnad of Al-Imam Baqi ibn Makhlad was awsa, ashmal. It was bigger than the musnad of Al-Imam Malik, Al-Imam Ahmed. Anyway, he mentioned that Abu Huraira had 5,000 hadith in the Musnad of Baqi ibn Makhlad, and that is a lot. For a companion to narrate 5,000 hadith in a particular book, keeping in mind there are so many other books of al-hadith. Now the Musnad that we have now, that is the biggest and the best one, is the one of al-Imam Ahmed, the Musnad of al-Imam Ahmed. And that Musnad, al-Imam Ahmed, brought over 3,000 hadith on and from Abu Huraira. So the shahid from that kalam, kulluhu, is that Abu Huraira is an imam from the imma of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. Today's hadith is a tremendous hadith from the kalam al-jawami' al-kalam. The Prophet said in it sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la yafraku mu'min mu'mina idha kariha minha khuluqa radiya minha akhir aw ghayruhu kama qal sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, it's not okay, it's not acceptable for a Muslim man, for the husband to hate his wife. This is not acceptable for anybody who's married to hate his wife. If the Muslim husband sees a character trait, a character flaw in his wife that he does not like, the hadith said, let him look and let him find a character trait that he does like. This hadith has been put in the book about a da'wah and the du'at. And this hadith is a cornerstone from those important hadith that deal with the ishrat al-nisa, al-ishra. How do you live and continue to get along with your wife? So those brothers who are not married, it takes politics, siyasa. It takes a particular understanding. It takes a special man to be able to deal with a wife in a good way. This hadith is explaining that. Ishrat al-nisa. How to live in harmony with women. Al-ishra. You have those books of fiqh, of a hadith. They always bring this chapter. The chapter of, as a husband, a Muslim man, and a Muslim wife, what do you do in order to have harmony between the two, based upon the book of Allah and based upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This hadith is one of the cornerstones of what the Prophet said concerning the one who wants to be successful in his marriage sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is not acceptable, it's not befitting for a Muslim man, a husband, to hate his wife, to hate her, to have animosity towards her, to, you know, have rancor towards her, doesn't want to deal with her, talk to her, treat her with respect. He hates her, regrets the day that he met her. He may have love for her, but they just don't get along. So they say terrible things to each other, and they deal with each other in a very bad way, which is common. I don't think there's anyone here except that we know people. This is their situation. So the Nabi of Islam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was asked by a man, Ya Rasulullah, what is the haq of a wife over the husband? What he told her, what he told him, shows us the ishra. If you do these things, inshallah, these things that help you to safeguard the love, respect, the honor of your wife, the loyalty. You compromise these things, you may not have problems. But if we do what he said to do, you will eliminate, inshallah, and reduce the fitna. If the man doesn't do what he's supposed to do, woman doesn't do what she's supposed to do, it's going to be trouble. He's going to hate her. She's going to hate him. So in regards to this, one more time, let me mention it. It is not okay for a Muslim man to hate his wife. If he sees in her a character trait that he dislikes, let him look for a character trait that he likes. Before explaining any further, clearly this hadith is not talking about if he sees that his wife is an innovator, he sees that his wife has a problem in her aqidah, he sees that his wife is a magician, he's not going to say, okay, I don't like this, but let me look for something else that I like. He's going to say, no, magic lady, if you don't get yourself together, you out of here. Can't be doing magic. So if he sees her doing magic, if he sees her on some hocus pocus Islam, if he sees her doing things behind his back, it's going to jeopardize his relationship with his children and their Islam. She's a fitana. This hadith is not applicable. He sees from her, she doesn't respect him. She goes out when she wants. She comes back when she wants. She says what she wants. She has a lot of issues. Are we telling him to be patient with her or her to be patient with him? We're not saying that. We're saying in general. In general, inshallah, as we're going to mention when we come to it, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. The man said, Ya Rasulullah, what's the haq that the man has over his wife? He said, the haq that she has over you, Abdullah, is you feed her from what you feed yourself. So you shouldn't allow yourself to do what some people do. He goes out, he hangs out, he goes to Tipu Sultana, he goes to Akbar over there on Hagley Road, he goes to these high-end restaurants, but because he has beef and drama and static with his wife, he leaves for her like tuna fish or eggs, and he says, hey, I fed you. Nope. She has to eat from what you eat. He said, number two, from what you wear, you have to dress her in what you wear. So again, he wants to go out, designer this, designer that, high-end clothes, this, that, latest fashion, and he gives her those bummy clothes. And he says, hey, I'm clothing you. The hadith said, you feed her from what you eat, and you dress her from what you wear. And he said, and you shouldn't hit her in the face. And if you do hit her, he said, it's the hidden that doesn't break bones. It's the hidden that doesn't leave marks. He said, وَلَا تُقَبِّهِ. And this is something many men fall short of. May Allah help us. From the haq of the woman is, لَا تُقَبِّهِ, which means you shouldn't say to her, hey, stupid, hey, dummy, you're so dumb, you don't have a brain. Did you get one of those brain surgeries, a lobotomy, and they took your brain out, stupid? He said, don't do that. If you get upset with your wife, you shouldn't say words like that. He said, number five, you shouldn't make hajr of your wife except in the bed. Now, if you make hajr from your wife and you leave the house, now it's going to be a bigger problem. You're not doing the ishra that Allah has commanded in the Quran and what the Prophet commanded. So many things. We're not here to give a talk about al-ishra, but this hadith is from that. Allah said in the Quran clearly, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. The women have rights similar to the rights that the men have over them. So we have rights and the women have rights. وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. They have rights similar to the rights that we have over them. The right to be respected. The right to be held down, protected, the right to love for her what you love for yourself, and so forth and so on. Abdullah bin Abbas, concerning this ayat of the Quran, women have rights similar to the rights that men have over them. Ibn Abbas said, for my rights, Ibn Abbas is the man, for my rights, is that I love to see my wife looking nice, and I love to smell my woman, my wife, smelling nice. He said, as a result of that, I dress nice for her, and I smell nice for her. So the man, he grabs, he grinds, and we'll applaud him for that. We say, Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي بِنِعْمَتِهِ تَتِمُّ الصَّالِحَاتِ. We say, Alhamdulillah, that you got a job and you grafting, but you got to get on top of your hygiene. Just because a man is a man, and he's going to usually be on a lower level of taking care of his hygiene than a woman, it's two different things. But that doesn't mean that the man should smell. Doesn't mean that at all. Someone should be schooling him. Hey, man, you got to raise your hygiene game up. Because to expect your wife to deal with this smell, that body odor, is dhulm. You won't want it for yourself. They have rights similar to the rights that are over them. So Abdullah bin Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, was just letting us know as men, none of you truly believes you love for your brother, but you love for yourself. So you want your wife to take care of your kids, then you should take care of your kids. What I found, when people invite you and ask you, can you come and be an arbitrator? Can you come and talk to me and my husband, me and my wife? What I found, 99, 98% of the time, both sides want all of the marbles. The man wants all of the marbles. And he doesn't want to give anything. And a lady wants all of the marbles, and she doesn't want to give up anything. And it's never going to work like that. You have to give up something in order to give something. Yes, yes, he has the lion's share of the problems. But you have to be practical. You have to be pragmatic. The reality is the reality. We made all the problems. Still, if you want to go peacefully from this point, you're going to have to give something in order to give something, in order to receive something. So this hadith is a cornerstone of the Ishrat al-Nisa. How to be nice and live with your wife. If you see from her something that you dislike, then look for something that you like. There's an ayah of the Quran in Surah An-Nisa similar to this ayah, this hadith. Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, فَإِن كَرِهْتُمُهُنَّ فَإِن كَرِهْتُمُهُنَّ فَعَسَنْ يَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا عَسَنْ تَكْرُهُ شَيْئًا يَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. If you men dislike your wives, if any of you men, you dislike your wives, you want to divorce your wife, it may be that you dislike something that Allah has put a lot of good in it. He doesn't like the fact that his wife doesn't like his children to go to his sister's house. He doesn't like it because of the beef and the drama that he gets from his family. But his wife doesn't want the kids to go because the sister has no deen. Because the kids, their Islam is under threat because the sister is really not taking care of the situation. He doesn't like the fact that his wife gets him up for fajr. He doesn't like it. The thing that he's not liking, it may be that Allah has put good in it. Like in these issues, clearly what he's not liking her for, he shouldn't be disliking her for those things. But he may dislike something about her, really dislike something, but Allah put in it a lot of good. So the hadith, the ayat, it's not okay for a Muslim man to hate his wife. If he sees something that he dislikes, let him look for something that he does like. The hadith said, "Tunkihu al-mar'atu li-arba." The woman gets married for four reasons. You marry a woman. You marry her because she's beautiful. You marry her because she has money. You marry her because she comes from a good family, a good lineage. You marry her because of the deen. Fadhfar bidhati deen. Tarabat yadak. Marry the girl with the deen. Out of all of these four things, the one you want to really pay attention to is the deen. If you do that, you'll be successful. Now, the lady may have all four, or she may have three, or she may have two, she may have one. So he married the lady who's religious, but she's overweight. She's not a Slim Jim like he wanted or like she used to be. She's overweight massively because she gave you 5-6 kids. Maybe she's thin, maybe she's short. Maybe she's tall. Maybe her nose is crooked. Maybe she has very strong glasses. Maybe she's not a good cook. Maybe. Everybody's going to find something from his wife that which he doesn't like. You don't like that thing? Look for the thing that will cause you to like her. Because listen, this hadith is from the Jawami al-Kalim. It's a lesson. It's a qa'idah. It's a principle in life. This hadith is telling you and telling me, telling us, if you want to take care of your interpersonal relationships on all levels, especially marriage, one of the most important levels, if you want to take care of those relationships, then you have to have something that is known as at-taghaful. At-taghaful is when you ignore stuff. You saw it, you heard it, you smelt it, you know it. You have to ignore it. Because if you held everybody to every single thing that you saw, you won't be able to get along with everybody. You definitely won't be able to get along with your wife. You don't want a mother and a father who always picking on everything you did. You don't want a mu'allim or a mu'allima in the madrasa, in the fasl. Always, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. And maybe you didn't do it. Maybe you didn't do it. But you have to let some of that stuff go. I'm teaching. I don't like that noise from this bottle. I don't like it. But I see someone's doing it. Oh, this person really doesn't come to the class. This person looks like he needs to be in the class and around us. I have to let that go. Because if I go off on him, maybe he won't come back again. Some people are ultra sensitive, even in this prayer. You pray next to someone and you hear the recitation of the imam, and that person starts to do that recitation on his own. You know, Abu slap his lips. You know what I'm talking about? Abu slap his lips. The imam, or maybe there's not, and he's going. And you want to say to him, Yahi, the imam is reading the Fatiha, or you want to get out of the line. Some people are so sensitive, they say, I'm not coming back to this masjid again. When something happens, they go to extremes. I'm never coming to your house again. Never coming back to this masjid again. No, no, no. The hadith said, Al-mu'min alladhi yukhalitu an-nas wa yasbiru ala adahum khayrun min al-mu'min alladhi la yukhalitu an-nas wa la yasbiru ala adahum. The believer who mixes with the Muslims and he's patient with what he sees from them, hears from them, smells from them. He's patient with it. He's better than the one who doesn't mix with them. And we all have seen those people, I think, when something doesn't go their way, they go extreme. Their response is too extreme. So this hadith of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is clearly showing us the impermissibility of being a person who looks at your wife and you criticize her for everything. There's no good in that husband or the wife who does the same thing, or the mother or the father who does the same thing. You have to let up off of people. The other issue, ikhwani, is, this is important, this hadith is talking about the woman. The man shouldn't hate his wife. But as we mentioned before, this hadith is also applicable to the wife. She shouldn't hate her husband. And this hadith is also applicable not hating other people other than the husband and the wife. Always, it's the husband and the wife? No. It's your mother, it's your father, it's your neighbor. It's the people in the masjid. Don't hate them. You see something about them that you don't like. He gives a khutbah that you don't like. Something you don't like. Well, his recitation is nice. There are other aspects to his existence that in it is khayr. Just don't be one of those people who you have ghulu and you go overboard and you expel people and you throw them off of the sheet of being beneficial because you saw something in them that you don't like or you dislike. So as it relates to the lady, the woman, we know that the woman has nuqsan. In our religion, we've been informed that the woman has deficiency in her intellect and in her deen. The witness of two women equals the shahada of one man. That's the nuqsan. Not that she's ghabiyya, jahila. Doesn't mean that at all. As a matter of fact, more women get master's degree, PhD degrees, bachelor's degrees than men. Doesn't mean that they're dumb. Inherently, they don't know. Doesn't mean that. And we also know that from their creation, there's a nuqs. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إنما خلقت المرأة من ضلع وإنها لن تستقيم لك على طريقة وإذا ذهبت لتقيمها كسرتها وكسرها طلاقها. A woman has been created. The woman has been created from the rib, and the rib is crooked and it will never go straight for you. Never. If you tried to straighten that rib out, straighten her out, you're gonna break it. And breaking it is divorcing her. Breaking is divorcing her. So if a man wants to be successful with his wife, he has to practice what the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He just didn't tell us words. He told us things to help us to understand that lady, to understand her aqliyah, to understand her at that time of the month. Al-Islam came with al-adl and hikmah in our mu'amala. And most times, if the man is just a decent man and he's halfway practicing the Quran and the Sunnah, in most instances, he can call his wife out. And I say, yes, there is a deficiency in women. No doubt about that. Fitna. But from my experience and from what I've seen, The majority of the drama, the lion's share of the drama, is coming from the men in our community. It's coming from the men. We have issues with certain women, but for the most part, it's the man. But these ayat and hadith, we don't want to weaponize them. Use it as a weapon against people. A weapon against the woman. No. We know her nature. And her nature is, as the Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she will make a man who is hazim. That man is a serious man. He's hazim, serious man. He's not to be played with, not to be joked around with. He's not the one to play with. But his wife can make his brain, go mushy like. Like really make him, you say, what happened to the seriousness? His wife dealing with the woman made him like that. Leaving his house, coming to the masjid with one shoe on and one shoe off. And we say, yo man, where your shoe at? He said, don't ask me about my shoe. You guys are laughing. It's real. He will punch the wall with his fist, his fist, kick the tire to his car with his foot because he's so upset with his wife. He buy a nice, big TV. He'll kick that TV over and pick it up and be stamping it and stepping on it like that. And he paid all the money. And then when it's all over, he'll say, you see what you made me do. So the Prophet taught us, take it easy. As it relates to this hadith, ikhwani, this hadith is applicable to us, it's applicable to them. The men and the women are twins to each other, but the men should have more control over their emotions and they should be more in control of the situation. That's not always the case. As it relates to this hadith here, there was no human being except that he has deficiency. Every sheikh has deficiency. The only one who is perfect, the prophets and the messengers, and that's it. Everybody else, he has deficiencies. The prophet said all of Adam's children, they make mistakes, all of them. And the best of those who make mistakes are the ones who make toba. وَلَوْ لَا يُؤَخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسِ بِظُلْمِهِمْ مَا تَرَكَ عَلَيْهَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ وَلَكِنْ يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَجْلٍ مُسَمَّى فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجْلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ If Allah were to hold mankind responsible for the mistakes and the sins and the oppression that they've done on the earth, Allah would not leave a single person on the face of the earth, but he leaves them there for a certain amount of time. When that time comes, they won't be able to delay it 1 minute, 1 hour, and they won't be able to bring it forward. Those ayat, hadith show everybody got mistakes. So her husband, he's a good earner. He's a good earner. Her husband, he has good akhlaq. Her husband is truthful and honest, but he has no backbone. He has no backbone. He can't stand up for her haq against people, whether it's his family, her family, outside. So I would tell every Muslim sister, listen, there's a hadith and it's been translated by our brother Mustafa Post, Jazahullahu Khaira, and he gave a commentary to it in English, the hadith of Ummu Zara and Abu Zara. You should go back and read that hadith for the sister. The hadith of Ummu Zara and Abu Zara, in which those women came together and said, each and every one of us should mention something about our husband in this assembly. And then each woman started saying, my husband this, my husband that, my husband this, my husband that. Some of them were very negative. My husband is like an arnab, a rabbit. That can mean he wants to have relationships like rabbits have relationships, or it means he doesn't do anything. He can't do anything. Different interpretations. The other lady said, my husband is like a lion. He comes up in the house just biting people's limbs off. By the time he goes back out, if you look back in my house, there's blood everywhere. The kids' heads are bitten off. The foot is off. A hurricane went in there because that's how my husband is. So what does the Muslim woman do? What does the Muslim man do? He doesn't look at other people and have hasad and say, oh, look at them. I wish they wouldn't have that. No, he doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. But he looks and he says, you know, this one is worse than mine. That one is worse than mine. Look how his wife is. Look how. And then you think, Allah, your wife can cook. Your wife takes care of those children. Your wife is making jihad, as we mentioned a million times, doing the school run. The school run. And for some reason, I don't know why now in Birmingham, they have road works everywhere. So if you have to take your child to school in the morning, you have to pick your child up in the afternoon, it's jihad. Jihad. But your wife does it every day without complaining. Cooking, cleaning, ironing those kids. Making salat. And then we have some fathers, we deadbeat dads. You on the scene, you're not on the scene, not giving money. We're giving a little bit of the money, giving a hard time, get married behind her back, this drama, this and that. No, no. So although this hadith, ikhwani, is talking about how to have the ishra with our wives, we'll bring it now to why the sheikh brought it in this book. Why did the sheikh bring it in this book? Because you have to have this thing with everybody else. You have to have this thing with everybody else. Everybody who's here. If you spend time with them, as we mentioned in the class about racism, all of Adam's children came out different colors, white and black and everything between. Khabith and Tayyib and everything between. Hazan and Sahl. Easy to get along with. And impossible to get along with, and everything between. So you're going to see people who it's a problem. Everybody. Somebody showed me his favorite child. His favorite child. Even your favorite child is going to do something to you to get you upset. You're sleeping and your favorite child comes and hits you in your face with his head while he's sleeping. You just woke up. You push him off. You push him off. And he rolled over and fall on the floor. Yeah, that's what a person does. He's not responsible. His kid hit him in his face with his head and his tooth. So everybody has that. We're giving dawah now. We're giving dawah. This is the season of the molid. We're giving dawah now. In giving dawah, we're going to be rough and tough with everybody out there. Okay, he practices the molid. He's on that molid. Your family is on that molid. I'm not saying it's a simple, easy thing. I told you, aqidah, innovation. But they're regular people. They're regular people. They're like you. They're like me. They're like your wife. They're like my wife. That when we see from her something we don't like, let me not chop her head off and destroy the relationship. Let me not do that. Same thing with the person on the molid. I don't want to destroy them. At least they seem sincere. At least they seem like they want to know. Allah mentioned ayat in the Quran. وَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ مَنْ إِنْ تَأْمَنْهُ بِقِنْتَارٍ يُؤَدِّهِ إِلَيْكَ. From Ahlul Kitab, Jews and Christians are those people. If you leave them with a trust and a manna, you left them with a whole treasure, £1 billion, £1 million. You left them with a whole treasure and said, hold this till I get back. They'll take care of it until you get back. Look for a character trait that they have. So it's baffling. The person comes into Islam and his mother and father kuffar. And somehow, someway, Islam causes him to turn into an anti-sociable monster, a beast. He looks at his mother and father and he looks at them and says, non-stinger making kuffar with najas in their clothes. And he looks like that at his parents. They have najasa, non-stinger making, pork eating, khamr drinking, lying. And that's how he's looking at his parents. Brother, something's wrong with you. Something's wrong with you. The way we should be looking at our family members is with the eye of ra'fa and rahma and lutf. Feeling sorry for them. Feeling remorseful for them. Having hope for them. That's our job when it comes to da'wah Allah, ikhwani. When it comes to da'wah Allah, the da'i and the da'wah, look at the people and say, Yes, that guy, he got up and he prayed every single day. Instead of coming to the masjid early for the 2 rakat of the sunnah fajr, he comes, we're praying, he goes to the side, he prays those 2 rakat. And he doesn't want to leave it. He doesn't want to put his foot next to you in the salat. These things, he doesn't want to do it. But he's praying in the masjid every day. Every day. And then there's the Salafi brother who you have camaraderie with, and you go, but he never prays Fajr on time. Can't pray Fajr on time. He's talking about the mawlid. But he's fallen into aquq al-walidain. Disrespecting your mother and your father is worse than the mawlid. It's worse than the mawlid. So he doesn't do the mawlid. Alhamdulillah. Bid'ah. Bid'ah. Kabira from the kabair. But being disrespectful to your mother and father, worse. Not getting up for Fajr, worse than the mawlid. Not getting up for Fajr is an action of kufr. So now, we're giving dawah. The man makes a mistake. It's an honest mistake or whatever kind of mistake. He says something as simple and as easy and as generic and as innocent as, but a Sheikh Yusuf al-Qardawi said that. And because he said Sheikh Yusuf al-Qardawi, this person says, you're an innovator, and then cuts him off. Come on, brother, come on, come on. What kind of religion is that? What kind of religion is that? He just made a mistake. How many people called him Sheikh? You don't suspend people for things like that. That's just an example. He did a podcast over here. He went to that masjid over there. He said this thing or that thing. You're going to reject him because he made that mistake? Billahi Ali. You're going to reject him because he made that mistake? Because he's a da'i? And what about the awam from the Muslims? Just the regular cats. Regular people. Well, he's the friend of the person. That's all. Just his friend. So we expel him. She got married to the person. So we cut her off. We're living in the time of drama and fitna and jahil and dhulm. This is a crazy time that we're living in. So in giving dawah, ikhwani, we have to put people in their right places. Our relatives and the Muslims who we know, who don't have knowledge. But if you ask those Muslims, hey, let's give these Syrian people some money. These people give you £1,000, £2,000, £5,000, sadaqah for those issues. And we won't give nothing, anything, but we'll go to Momo's and eat. And that's permissible. But how are we going to look at them as being no good? That's khayr to give that sadaqah. And it's khayr that you're a student and that you're doing what you're doing. But take it easy with the ummah. That's the reason why Sheikh Ali Al-Halabi brought this hadith here. And before concluding, I'll say about Sheikh Ali Al-Halabi, rahmatullahi alayhi, without any ghulu and going overboard. Anybody who got a chance to meet that man, that's one of the things about his character that will jump off of the table at you, right off out of the book at you. How he was an anis, like anis. He was mutawannis. He was a person who was very sociable. You'll never get tired of being in his presence. Sheikh, older than you, encyclopedia, serious, heba, but he knows how to joke with people and be with people. Not the joking that goes overboard and his haven respect goes out of the window, but he knows how to be with people. Wallahi, akhwani, I've seen with my own eyes here in Birmingham, in Leicester, people get degrees, master's degrees and stuff like that. And you look at some of this behavior in terms of the antisociable behavior. Is that a sheikh? I'm telling you, if I was a new Muslim, and the sheikh is like that, real rough and tough like that? Harsh, coarse, bland. Nah, I don't want to be around the sheikhs. If that's how you're going to treat people, can't treat people like that. Got to be in the service of the people, in the khidmah of the people. not way up there. The people have to get with the program. So that's the meaning of today's hadith, ikhwani. As it relates to our wives, first and foremost, it's a principle in az-zawaj and the nikah, al-hayat al-zawjiyah. This is a principle for every married person. Whatever you don't like in your wife, she has a plethora of other things that you can like. And another issue is shaitan, you know, because shaitan, as the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he puts his throne over the water every day. He sends his ansar out, they come back. What you do today, I cause this man to kill him, I cause him to say this, I saw him there. And this one said, I split a man between himself and his wife. He said, come sit with me on my throne, because he loves that. He loves that. You're married to your wife when you first hooked up. She was the greatest thing since sliced bread. You was really into it. Now it's only 1 year and you're complaining. You're going to always complain. Always you're going to complain. But remember, she's going to complain as well. And also, shaitan. Shaitan will always make you believe that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. That grass ain't green on the other side of the fence. You'd be happy with what you have and work that situation out and appreciate what your wife brings to the table. Even today, we should go back home, get them something nice, whatever you want to do, and say, I appreciate you took care of my babies. I appreciate you put up with me. You put up with me. I appreciate you held my mother down with respect. I appreciate this jihad that you're doing. I appreciate you gave birth to the baby. You carried that baby around. We have a million things. So why is it your mother, your mother, your mother? Because there's nobody like her. There's no one like her. And that's why I really didn't mean to do that Friday. I was just stressing out. I was like stressing from the stress that I had. I just wanted to tell the brothers in the community we should appreciate our wives. Because they make a jihad. Okay, if you guys have any questions, you can put your questions forward. I want to thank Brother Nuruddin for making the tasweeb of the ayat, mashallah. We don't have any problem with anybody from this masjid coming and saying, you said that, that was wrong, this is right, this was right. And we're going to rectify that thing right there in public. وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ فَإِنْ كَرِهْتُمُوهُنَّ فعسى ان يجعل الله فيه خيرا كثيرا فعسى ان تكرهوا شيئا ويجعل الله فيه خيرا كثيرا. If you guys have any questions, you can put your questions forward. Let me ask you a question. Al-Imam Ibn Hazm said the greatest musnad, even greater than the musnad of Al-Imam Ahmed, was which musnad? This is a piece of Ahlul Hadith information. What's the greatest musnad according to Imam Ibn Hazm? And the fact that Imam Ibn Hazm read this book is a big, important issue in the knowledge of Al Hadith. Baqi ibn Makhlad, he was from the Shamiyin. He was a tremendous scholar. So he has how many? A hadith of Abu Hurairah in the Musnad of Baqi. And the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, 5,000, and Baqi, and 3,000, and Imam Ahmed. I also forgot to tell you, Abu Hurairah, he died in the year 60. He died in the year 60 after the Hijra of Al-Mustafa Al-Mujtar, Al-Mukhtar. Aytfadi, Yaakhi. Baruch Post. You on a roll today, brother. You on a roll today, brother, mashallah. Al-Mu'min Mir'atul Mu'min. We're mirrors to one another. Aytfadda AQ. With the Iblis? Allahu alam, did the scholars say that they are shayateen of the men who go to the throne? Allahu alam, it could be possible, right? Because these people are plugging into the jinn and things like that, getting famous people, their careers back, rich people, money and things like that. People go into contracts with them. But does that happen over the throne? Allahu alam, Allahu alam. Any more questions, Ikhwani? What's the beginning of the ayah? وَكَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ شِيَاطِينَ الْإِنسِ وَالْجِنِ. Huh? كَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ عَدُوًا شِيَاطِينَ الْجِنِ وَالْإِنسِ. هكذا, huh? Okay. يُوحِي بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضُ زُخْرِفَ الْقَوْلِ. Any more questions, Ikhwani? All right, inshallah, we want to keep these numbers up, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, but want you guys to write a little bit. A few students are writing, but ahlan, ahlan bikum, welcome, everybody. Hatha wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So it's always good to see you, man. Mashallah, ahabbaka Allah alladhi ahbabtani fi. I love you more, man.